You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
The Around the NFL Podcast. Mrs. West's references to Welcome Back, Cotton.
Welcome to another edition of the Around the NFL Podcast. My name is Dan Hansis. I come to you from a virtual room filled with some heroes. Mark Sessler, Greg Rosenthal. I feel like where we are now, and happy, happy league new year and all that. It's officially the 2021 season in the NFL as of Wednesday. It feels like now, and there's still a lot of free agents out there. We're going to get to everything that's happened in the last 24 hours and guys that are still out there and things that could happen while we're recording, just like we did the last 2 days. But I'm starting to think like this Deshaun Watson thing, this is going to really soon become the dominant story if it's not already there. Like, it feels like it's going to happen soon now, and we're going to get to some reports that are out there too. Do you disagree, Greg? You gave me a which I think means I don't know about that.
I don't know. I'm so in the dark about this that I have no feel. If I had to guess, it feels more like the draft. You're right. It'll become the dominant story, and we're going to be talking about it. But it just feels like no one knows, but it makes more sense to me to happen near the draft.
I think it could happen before that, though, too, because you're in a public relations disaster. And if the right offer comes, it's probably going to – they have to start to listen. It sounds like they're not really even listening or picking up the phone. But when you go – and I am not connecting the Tyrod Taylor dot to suggest that they believe that they're done with Deshaun Watson. But that's the first – like. Sign, and it's just such a predictable Texans thing to do. And I just start thinking, I know the Panthers are all over it, that he's going to wind up in New England and our heads are going to explode.
No, stop.
Why is that so impossible?
Here's why. Because they filed a tampering charge against the Texans just a year ago that was related to them hiring the general manager that's there now.
So?
That the owner of the Patriots was reportedly furious with Easterby for some breadcrumbs that Easterby dropped on the way out. That the Texans have really been almost as much as any franchise, really. Obviously, the Jets would be in that mix, but almost as much as any franchise has sort of been the Patriots' little brother since they've come back, because they've just kept coming up against them in key spots. And I just can't see any reason that they're ever going to serve Watson to them on a platter for any amount of picks, because that's ownership. Ownership wouldn't allow.
Hey, I don't know.
Hey, Ricky Hollywood, what if you, in one fell swoop, got Cam Newton out of your way as QB1 and imported a future Hall of Fame quarterback in his mid-20s to the Patriots in one move?
That's what I thought.
Speaking of the Patriots, any moves in the last 24 hours for everyone to over?
No, but I do think more could be coming. They still have a lot of cap space left after all this somehow.
When they usually get active.
You said, by the way, Greg, that you know there's certain soldiers out there in the Belichick universe. Let's hear from one of them, Lewis Riddick.
And he's executing it to a T right now. Now it's all on the quarterback. It's all on Cam Newton and whether or not they wind up drafting somebody for the future. But right now, as far as team building is concerned, this is a clinic of how to run free agency. It's an absolute clinic.
This is exactly what's on my nerves about this, Greg. Riddick, who obviously I guess I know he has history with Belichick and all that. This idea that now, and he has a big platform, Lewis Riddick. People listen to him, and he's on ESPN's morning show, and he's saying, Bill Belichick has fixed the team. Now, whether they do well or fail, it's on Cam Newton. Because Bill's fine. Bill did what Bill had to do. He made every move, and he's built this team now brilliantly. And if they don't do well in 2021, it's not Bill Belichick's fault. It's Cam Newton's fault. And that's a kind of unsavory way the sausage can be made when you have people in your corner in the media. Because I just hate that sentiment, as if just because they spent all this money, he won free agency again, and now you have to put it all on Cam, as if now it's Cam's job to get them back to the Super Bowl. It's not just Cam. Ugh, that got on my nerves.
Well, plus Belichick is the one that is putting Cam in there, so he is responsible for Cam Newton's play. His faith in Cam Newton is on Belichick. You know, the minute that preceded that was more of an X's and O's saying, like, how these players specifically fit the way Belichick wants to attack inside out. He thought Aguilar and Henry and Jonnu Smith kind of was like the perfect fit for the Patriots offense. So we'll see. But that was where he was trying to go.
You want to talk about mission accomplished banner on the aircraft carrier? All right,
here's the thing, though. Come on. Watch NFL media across almost any platform, and the ex-players and scouts and GMs and everyone that's been inside the league, every single one of them has got some big-time agendas that are very obvious if you know them ahead of time. Like, it's just a fact. We do, too. We do, too, as fans. I'm not saying we don't, but we do. You got to read into that. I'm with you.
Riddick has been studying Belichick for 20-plus years. I mean, he was with him on the 1993 Browns.
I think we've ascended past study at this point. I don't know what the word is, but study feels a little bit
strange. But I would say this. If you're going to tell me a team that is going to go out and make a big deal out of having like a two tight end offense and who I would trust with almost anyone they bring in on defense to maximize, yes, it's the Patriots, unfortunately. Yeah, I think the mission accomplished event in our history was a little more egregious than suggesting the Patriots have added talent on both sides of the ball.
No, Bill did his job. It's done. The Patriots are rebuilding
to a champion.
Dan's just annoyed because this is supposed to be the Jets' time of year. False hope time of year. He doesn't like that the Patriots are the team with the false hope this time. You know, he doesn't like that the Patriots are peaking in March like the Jets did the last few years.
And I have plenty of history with that. And peaking in March doesn't always tend to work out in September. But congratulations to the Patriots.
You starting the show saying you know, it's the new league year and like now we're celebrating. Does that mean today is actually the first time we can say football is back? It's like it's the first of 15 different times from now until September. Football's back.
There may be no more absurd thing happening in any sport. I mean, and there are some challengers out there. Then this treating the new league year like New Year's Eve business. We're all having to kind of close our eyes and pretend it's of intrigue.
It's a vestige like, of 5 years ago. The game has changed out from under our feet here.
Why must we not evolve though? Why are we still treating that like it's this Christmas morning business?
My son is in the background yelling "poo poo bananas."
Well, that's true. About.
I mean, that's more interesting to me than
right. That's a good point.
Happy.
I think it's
year.
You're going to discover something more interesting when you exit the show. No doubt about it.
He's talking about the Seahawks offseason. Am I right?
Oh! All right. Let's get into where we're at right now. It is just after 5 o'clock on the East Coast. Let's start with some quarterback talk. Let's talk about the Seahawks. Why not? Because an interesting report, the Bears, as we discussed yesterday, signed Andy Dalton to a 1 year contract worth $10 million with room to go higher than that. It's you know, low grade starting quarterback money for Andy Dalton. It seems like the direction Chicago's going in 2021. Now a report, this actually from Dan Patrick, who said on his radio show, I presume, that the Chicago Bears offered 3 first round picks, a 3rd round pick, and 2 unnamed starters for Russell Wilson. So they went for it. The report's out there. If this is true, what Patrick is saying, I have no reason to think that he's misinformed here. The Bears indeed were all in on trying to solve their offense and franchise issues with one big swing. But what killed them is they have the 20th overall pick. You wonder if they were in the top 5, if this is a whole different situation and the Seahawks are actually tempted to pull the trigger, but they might not have had enough ammunition here.
They couldn't deliver the quarterback. I think that, you know, if you're the Seahawks, and I like the way some people put it, like if this deal went down, the Seahawks become the Bears and the Bears become the Seahawks. And why would the Seahawks want to do that? I mean, I wonder though, and this all happened at a North Dakota State Pro Day in Fargo, North Dakota, which adds a little bit of intrigue to the whole thing. But I guess if you're right, mysterious, a nice place. Okay, we can play that too. Like Ryan Pace, you tried, but you didn't deliver the quarterback the first
okay,
time.
Okay, we can play that too. He says
you seem annoyed by the song. I like the
just
accompaniment.
Calm down, Mark.
I don't understand what is happening.
Sound drop in there every once in a while without you getting agitated by it. It's meant to
typically
add a
when
flavor.
I'm speaking, then suddenly a bunch of bells and whistles get unfurled. I mean, there's no doubt about it. But it is a nice anthem.
Do you want to know what it is?
I don't at this point.
Instead
I don't even
judging,
know what I was going to say.
Instead of judging, this is the theme song of the great film Fargo.
Mm. Well, I've seen
what
the film
movie.
Many times.
Yes, this is the theme song from Fargo. I love that there was a clandestine meeting in Fargo, having really loved that. Was it the Coen brothers that did that film?
Yes.
Excellent. All right, Mark, go ahead. I'm sorry to upset you.
No, I think what's happened is I stepped over a bit that you had prepared before the show by mentioning.
No, this I'm noticing Fargo, this. So. You're starting to have any issues when there's something in the background. I apologize. Go ahead.
Well, I don't know where this is going, but like I would just say this: you wind up with Andy Dalton because you couldn't deliver the quarterback, not when you had a chance to draft one, or when it came down to this super expensive trade proposal. Mm. You're on the outside looking in. You're the Chicago Bears. And it's not Andy Dalton's fault. And we all get it. Everyone's been tweeting about it for 24 hours. But he's in another terrible situation where he's going to be compared to, like, Mitch Trubisky, who they could have had. So I've had enough of it. And I feel for Bears fans.
The music swelling really does add
I'm starting to like it more.
Otherwise be like a good Andy Dalton take, but now it almost feels like your Oscar clip. It's great.
Maybe we just end the show right here. We'll just call it a day. See you tomorrow.
I do see what Ryan Pace is doing, though, here. You know, it's like every reporter has these details. Where does it come from?
All right, Ricky.
Like, he is giving me, Ryan Pace, that is, some Danny Ainge in the NBA vibes, where it's like every time a huge superstar gets traded, like it gets leaked a day later that Danny Ainge really tried hard for him. And I'm not doubting that's true, but it's a self-serving report that's like, hey, Bears fans, we tried. I didn't like when people said they did everything possible. No, you could have just offered more. You could have made trades leading up to this to get even more first round picks. Like if you wanted to sell out everything you possibly could do, you could do more. Part of the
three first round picks, didn't we learn at some point in this offseason that that's the most you can actually
right, but
offer
if you got
deal?
Someone in
up
theory
to a certain year. Yeah.
In theory right. You could try to acquire another
trade Khalil Mack for another first or something like that, you're saying? Okay.
Sure, something like that.
Or like the Jets have done. Look, the Jets have set the table to be a true contender. The Bears
right. But
are
you
not,
need like a year, you need a little bit more time to build up a cachet like that. I guess if the Bears had another year leading up to one, and maybe they will because Russell Wilson could be traded next year.
Yeah.
Maybe then you could see something happen.
Or even next month, because if Rap Sheet's our insider Ian Rappaport's timeline is accurate, and no reason to think it wasn't, the Seahawks slept on this. So I thought that was an interesting part of the story. Schneider and Pace meet up, the clandestine meeting, Fargo, and they sleep on it. He goes back and talks to Pete Carroll. I found it interesting. Rap Sheet points out specifically that Carroll is the one that makes the decision here, which is supporting my Pete Carroll is the most powerful head coach in the NFL argument because he hired Schneider and because they don't seem to have any real ownership situation going on there. Not really sure what's going on there. That Carroll said, no, I don't want to do that. But I don't know. They had a meeting. They talked about it. They thought about it. It kind of indicates they're thinking about it, that it's possible. Whether it's possible right now or next offseason, I don't know. But it doesn't seem nearly as like crazy. And if I am Seahawks ownership, it's Paul Allen's sister, by the way, after mm-hmm. Paul Allen died. I don't know. I'd be a little concerned. I might want to nip this in the bud, and I might want to get old Pete Carroll out the door if I have to make a choice.
Mm. Yep.
Right now?
I don't know. Before they trade Russell Wilson, yeah, if it comes down to that. I like what Pete Carroll's doing, keeping Russell Wilson. Okay, that's fine.
But he's 70. Part of it is he's 70. Does he want to go into a rebuild with a hazy quarterback scenario? Sounds like an absolute nightmare to be doing that at age 70.
You could turn into the Bears and not have a quarterback for 30 years.
Also, exactly. Pete Carroll is not your average 70-year-old. And I also think, based on what we know about him, I don't think he sees anything as, you know, I can't pull this off, not at this age. I think he still believes himself to be 35, and he might actually be. He's not quite your average 70-year-old, but this will be very interesting to continue to track. And another, you know, big quarterback news, and we mentioned Watson and the idea of trading a franchise superstar. The Athletic's Joseph Person reports that the Panthers are, quote, locked on acquiring the Texans star. And a person quoted an executive with an NFL team who said Watson looks to be plan A, B, and C for the Panthers and the team's owner, David Tepper. Three first-round picks, the likely starting point in trade talk. So there's that three again. There's the max. Now, max years. You could always have more first-round picks. That's beside the point. Here's my thought on this and why I think, yes, the draft's really, it feels like it's far away, but it's really not. But if the Texans have David Tepper on the hook here and this guy wants what he wants, and we've heard this over and over, that David Tepper, he won't let a guy out of the room when he wants his man, and he wants to make his big splash, and he wants to run an NFL team the way he built himself as a businessman into a billionaire, and that's being aggressive and getting what he wants. All right, this feels like the guy to do business with, and we've talked about it in the past on this show. If you got to trade Deshaun Watson, which you never want to do, but if you have to do it and you don't have another choice, might as well trade him out of the conference and put him out of sight, out of mind on some level. And don't let this opportunity slip away. It just feels like the Panthers and where they're at as an organization and their need and who their owner is, this is the partnership to get max value in a deal. Don't get too cute with this and blow the best potential suitor you have.
You'd have the number 8 pick. That would be a doorway to get a quarterback, obviously, which is the huge key component here. I do think David Tepper is going to be looked at 4 or 5 years from now as one of the most powerful owners in the NFL, if not in sports. He's a modern day owner. And the marriage between him and Matt Rhule is super solid. And can you imagine that offense last year was frisky with Teddy Bridgewater? I mean, they've got parts. Can you imagine Deshaun Watson with Christian McCaffrey and Robbie Anderson? And maybe you even think about retaining Curtis Samuel, re-signing him as an attractive add-on for Deshaun Watson. They will have, now that it's the New Year League, about $32 million in cap space. So they have been making moves and setting the table again, like to your point, Greg, getting in the right position to make this gigantic trade. And I think it would be an awesome landing spot for Deshaun Watson.
Well, and they're high enough in the draft that they could potentially move higher. So that's the key to me. I think if you're the Seahawks, you can't ever trade Russell Wilson without getting a franchise quarterback back. It's insane. And it's the same with the Texans. So, you know, the Dolphins and the Jets to me have always made the most sense because they have the second and third pick. And we heard that Watson would like to go there. Although now that's, you know, there's a million of these reports out there. There's one from Lombardi, who is a former Patriots employee. So again, think about agendas that says he doesn't want to go to those teams, that he likes the 49ers or the Broncos, which also are teams I think that could be laying in the weeds here because they don't need a quarterback now in free agency, but they could pounce around the draft. But what Carolina and Denver to some degree has is a pretty high draft pick where it's okay, maybe if you can get even higher and then you throw in the first without giving up your first round picks, you know, then maybe you're cooking. But wouldn't you get, you probably would get the best price near the draft, kind of like the Goff trade or the Wentz trade or the Eli Manning trade, all these other trades.
I could see Jimmy G as someone that, you know, please, Nick Caserio and Mr. Easterby claiming friendship with or whatever it would be and saying this fits well with what the Texans want to be. Jimmy G is our starter with, you know, Tyrod Taylor is our backup, and you'll probably see both of them.
I don't know if Easterby, you know, he's a God-fearing man. If you remember when Garoppolo went on that blind date with the adult film star.
Sure, but one of the tenants would be forgiveness, I would think. You'd have to forgive that. He's a young man. You could see why that might happen.
That's still, I have to say, in all the years that we've done this podcast, one of the strangest stories that Jimmy G, who's by all accounts a mild-mannered man and a really nice guy, and everybody seems to like him, and I'm not throwing any shame on the adult film industry, but to think that you could just go out on the town with a well-known porn star, that was quite a roll of the dice. Now, the payoff, I imagine, was huge. Let's be honest here. Entering in that type of relationship, however long it lasted. But when we look back, Greg, that's stunning, isn't it?
I mean, I think it lasted until the next day when she posted stuff on Instagram about it. But it's a really funny story to look back on. It made me like Jimmy G more because of how he handled it. He didn't give you the franchise quarterback vanilla answer. He just sort of like shrugged his shoulders and was like, come on, guys. Like, you know what happened. Why are you asking about this? Like, he owned it. And with a smile, he owned it. I mean,
if a franchise quarterback can't do it, who can, I guess, in terms of your, you know, power brokering your way into that kind of a date.
Like, but he's like, what, you got to get on me for this, guys? Look at me.
He's like, swing. Yeah.
Remember, Wes and I rode a plane with Jimmy G from Indianapolis to Los Angeles and actually spoke to him a number of times when no one knew, you know, who he was and where he'd go and what he'd become. You know, a lot of other things happened on that plane flight too, but that was one of the highlights.
I think I know the one you're referring to. And other Deshaun Watson news. This is just something to keep an eye on here. There are allegations of a sexual assault involving Watson here. A lawsuit includes allegations from a female masseuse that Watson, quote, went too far during a massage. And Watson came out on social media and vigorously denied everything involved in terms of the charges and called it a shakedown. So that is kind of now something just percolating as part of the story around Watson. We'll see how that all plays out. In other free agency news, let's get to free agency. Things have calmed down a little bit, but still a lot of stuff going on. We'll start with Trent Williams. The left tackle signs a monster extension with the San Francisco 49ers. 6 years, $138 million, 55 of it guaranteed, $30 million in a signing bonus. The 32-year-old is locked and loaded as the blindside protector of perhaps Jimmy Garoppolo or whomever else in the future. So after, I think he was number one, Greg, on your free agency top 101, he is off the board in a big way.
I like I wouldn't call it pettiness, but just like a bookkeeping detail that they added $10,000 to the end of this $138 million contract so he could be the highest paid left tackle in history.
That's a solid.
Like, who's doing that? The agent or the player? I don't even know. But he wanted to be the guy. And he proved, a nice prediction I put in there that I thought he would. In this free agency where I do feel team players are getting a little less than they would normally, Trent Williams got paid full price. And he's kind of the photo negative of Le'Veon Bell's sitting out a year. So we said, well, that didn't work out for Le'Veon Bell. Worked out well for Trent Williams. His was for a different reason. It was mostly his displeasure with the Washington franchise and a little bit of injury situation. But he sat out a year, bet on himself, said, you can't tag me. I'll play for you 1 year a little below market. And now he's awesome and he's rich.
It's interesting that the Chiefs, who obviously need tackle help, pushed really hard to sign him and that he turned down the chance to go and play with Patrick Mahomes and probably walk right into a Super Bowl. I guess it shows true belief in the Niners too. It can't just be about money. I mean, although that's what everyone tells me it's all about.
Well, he was drafted by Kyle Shanahan and Mike Shanahan back in Washington. So he has a nice history there and clearly likes playing for him.
I mean, if you're an organization that's being run the right way and you have a guy in the building, you have a chance to make him comfortable and make him like where he is. And I think that certainly helped the Niners in this case as well. So you mentioned Le'Veon Bell. Is he even going to get a job this offseason? Is his career over? I mean, what a stunning downfall if that's the case. He was on a Hall of Fame trajectory before he got into his squabbles with Pittsburgh.
I think it could be over. Unless he's going to take like a minimum deal and compete for a spot in camp. That's kind of where he's
at. No major injury. Sat out the year over contract issues. Came back with the Jets. Got a nice deal. wasn't nearly the same player. They thought maybe getting him out of the Adam Gase offense, sending him to the Chiefs would spark him, did not. And it's just, it's one of those really, it's a head scratcher because I think he's what, 28, 29 now? And it's almost like the elite football in his body just disappeared. He also disappeared from the Steelers and that attack, but interesting story there.
No questioning his desire to probably, I would, someone who I'd call a lifer. I expect him to come back and play another 8 or 9 years, if not 8 or 9 months.
Moving on, the Cardinals are making moves. They'll start at wide receiver. They signed A.J. Green to a one-year, $8 million contract. He's going to be 33 years old this summer. Didn't look, I mean, he looked like, this is kind of like Le'Veon Bell. He's a few years older, so you think Father Time's playing a role here, but it almost seemed like he went from an elite player to a below average player overnight. Last season was not good statistically for him, even with an ascendant young quarterback in Joe Burrow. The Cardinals now are going to take a chance, and it makes you wonder if Larry Fitzgerald is going to hang up the cleats here. It's been very quiet on that front about whether he's coming back or not. Not A.J. Green now is in the equation.
I was very surprised he got $6 million guaranteed. Very.
They're handing out a lot of money over there. They're making some aggressive moves.
He didn't look good last year. You know, I really thought you looked at him, and I think that was a nice receiver group in general. Three good young receivers. You see him next to, you know, T. Higgins and even Auden Tate, was like their fourth. And they, like, you could just see them both on the field at the same time, and they looked like young and explosive, and A.J. Green did not. So
he became like a point of the catch guy. It's like he, you know, everyone, I saw NFL Network going crazy about this, and it's like talking about how strong his hands are and all this stuff. That's fine. I mean, but he's not the same player. And it, to me, the money is weird. And it's the classic free agent signing where everyone's going gaga over it, but he hasn't been A.J. Green in 2+ seasons. And
value, as Wes would say, value the game, not the name.
Fitzgerald is going to retire, according to Mike Florio, or have to sign elsewhere. He put something out there. He didn't say sources, but he made it clear he wasn't basing it on nothing, that the Cardinals were kind of done with him. He put it out there in a nice way, which makes sense. He averaged 7 yards per catch last year. He played a lot and did not produce Larry Fitzgerald, and he's turning 39, so I think it's probably the end of the road for him.
Yeah, first-round pick way back in, I believe, 2004. An amazing Hall of Fame career for Larry Fitzgerald. If this is the end, we'll keep an eye on that. And another Cardinals news, Rodney Hudson. You know, we were just talking about him, and the news that came out yesterday indicated that the Raiders had released their veteran center, which was surprising and head-scratching. Well, it didn't turn out to be a release. It turns into a trade. So he's out the door, but it's the next closest thing. They trade Hudson to the Cardinals in exchange for a third-round pick, and they swap seventh-rounders. Excuse me. Cardinals acquire Hudson and a seventh-round pick from the Raiders in exchange for a third-round pick. So that is a nice pickup for Arizona. Hudson, as we talked about yesterday, has really had a nice career.
I like thinking about the sausage. See how this sausage gets made on one like this. I'm curious how this all went down.
Do you think the media played a role in the Raiders changing their?
I don't know. Like, did the Raiders not realize he could acquire a third round pick? Was Ian just putting it out there, and they knew that then, like, because the GM app is not around, Dan. Maybe they're kind of using Ian as a way to put it out there. Or was it just like some imprecise language going on? Like, we were going to put him on the top 101 and he never even was a free agent. It was, you know, it was a little strange. The whole thing was strange.
This is how the GM app works. It's very simple, and I just need an HTML guy to help build it with me. If you're out there, please hit me up. My DMs are open. No, they're not. All you have to do is in the subject line, center Rodney Hudson. You click into it, okay? Then you have his contract details, how many guaranteed years he's left, what's owed, all that type of nitty-gritty information, and then what I'm looking for. And put mid-round pick, hit me up in my DMs. And then you have that out there to 31 other teams, and it just takes one nibble to have it. And if you get two, then you can start leveraging them against each other. Maybe open a three-way chat and you get the three of them together and we just really figure it out. But that's how it works. It would absolutely be effective.
It sounds like an incredible platform. And it's like when you come up with ideas like this, usually like other people around the globe are coming up with similar ideas. And I'm surprised. Well, it says a lot, Dan, that you're the only one who's come up with this. It's not been done. And I would ask you, could like someone sneaky like a Jack Easterby get into the forum, or is it simply the person with the GM title? Like, can you, there are other like pesky people in every organization, you know, striving for power.
There has to be a gatekeeper. I'd hire Greg. I'd give Greg about, what can I pay Greg that he would say yes to do it? I would pay Greg $15,000.
Right. You got to get to five figures, and you could have lowballed me at 10. I would have done it for 10.
So if I give Greg $15,000 and he becomes the gatekeeper, and people actually have to submit, like I just went through this with the whole home process. The final part of submitting an offer is writing a letter to the buyers explaining why you want the house. And it's a way to kind of add a little personal touch if you're in competition. They have to submit a letter of intent to Greg, and then he'll decide whether to let people.
Yeah.
15 grand feels low in a trade where there's like maybe 2,800 transactions a year. I mean, Greg is going to be, there'll be
job.
No time for Greg's base job anymore.
Well, between me and the HTML guy, I mean, he's going to have to figure out how to get the three-way chat going. I mean, it was one thing when it was two.
I think that's a little deeper than HTML, but yes.
No, that's the whole thing I want to keep.
That's it.
It's got to be expensive.
Very simple. Yes.
It's got to be expensive. Well, I think to your point.
Wait, doesn't your wife work in that realm, Mark?
Sure, but I'm going to need more than $15,000, you know, to
I'll
stack another responsibility onto her.
I'm going to undercut her. I'll do it for 10. I need that.
I'll do it for nine now. We'll do it for nine.
This is how it works. There must have been another team in that app, by the way, for it to go all the way up to third. That was the whole thing. They were going to cut them, and it's like they must have had other teams bidding to get it to third.
All right. Where are we? Moving on. Ooh, Jacoby Brissett has a job. A new job.
Slice me up a piece of that.
He joins the Miami Dolphins. As their new backup quarterback behind Tua Tagovailoa, and that's a nice landing spot for Jake Brissett. And it does, you know, it jumps out to me when I saw this news, and I had written about this on the website maybe a month ago, that one of the reasons why I didn't feel like Ryan Fitzpatrick made sense as the future of the Dolphins is like he was too good at the job, and he was too popular with the fan base. And Tua is just a kid, and he's trying to figure this thing out. And you have this guy that is essentially the most popular player in the league on some level in terms of everyone loves Ryan Fitzpatrick, right? Like not in terms of, he's not like as big as like the true superstars, but you know what I mean. He's just such a fan favorite. It became almost a distraction in this goal of building out Tua as your franchise quarterback. You get Jake Brissett in there, and you're okay. You don't have to worry about the fans clamoring for Jake Brissett. So we've seen a lot of Jake Brissett, and Jake Brissett is Jake Brissett.
Yeah, what do the Colts always say about Jake Brissett?
Jake Brissett.
Like, great teammate, you know, willing to do anything, stepped in a tough situation. Ryan Fitzpatrick is just simply too charismatic, and it gets too freaky and too good at times. That's a load for your coaching staff to handle as your backup quarterback. So I totally agree with you. I think to me, though, anything could happen, but it shuts down for me the idea that the Dolphins would package Tua away for Deshaun Watson. I just don't – that team to me feels like a no-go on that
front. What does that have to do with Jake Brissett, though?
I just think that they – to the point of getting a backup that is clearly below Tua's, like, intrigue level, that they're just going forward with Tua. Also, everything they've just said about Tua, I just think that they're – that's their quarterback room. And I don't think adding Deshaun Watson to that is happening. Who knows? But do you think they're a candidate? I don't.
Was that the Jake Brissett signing? By the way, enough of the slander on Jake Brissett. Nice quarterback. Last time he was truly
healthy. Hang on a second. Tell me where I'm wrong. Jake Brissett.
Slice me off a piece of that Jake Brissett. I would have been happy to see him in New England.
Do you know exactly what I'm saying, though, when I say Jake Brissett is Jake Brissett?
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying. I'm not saying he's a bad guy or a bad player.
No,
he's
I know who he is. But brisket homers out there would point to that first half of his season with Indianapolis before he hurt his shoulder, and things were looking pretty good. And then he stinks with a bum shoulder, and then he gets replaced. That's tough.
But you're not intrigued to yank Tua or take Tua out of the picture.
It doesn't, I agree with your point. Yeah, I agree with your point. I do think if they had any chance to get Deshaun Watson, they would sell Tua down the river. That's what I think.
I think you're right about that. In other news, the Bills parted ways with John Brown last week. They replace him with Emmanuel Sanders. I mean, this guy's starting to pile up some frequent flyer miles here, Manny Sanders. It is a one-year, $6 million contract. Nice value. Sanders a little up there now, a little long in the tooth at 34 years old. But he has always been a nice, consistent number two, number three type guy. And maybe he gives them somebody who's a little bit more durable and can, make some plays with Josh Allen.
Good spot for him, like if you're into him as a fantasy guy or whatever, because he didn't do great in New Orleans. You mentioning frequent flyer miles, though, gets me thinking, like, I've been racking up these frequent flyer miles on my credit card this last year. Like, what? It just feels worthless. I guess someday, in theory, I'll use them, but it's just a currency that doesn't matter anymore.
Well, right now.
Yeah.
You will get on an airplane again at some point, I would imagine.
Here's that wide receiver room as Greg ponders air flight in the future. Emmanuel Sanders joins Stephon Diggs. He's the true number one. Cole Beasley, who had that big breakout season last year. And you have second-year man Gabriel Davis as well. So Sanders slides in there. He should play plenty there.
It's a nice group.
Yep.
Speaking of John Brown, he lands on his feet with the Las Vegas Raiders, and he replaces Nelson Aguilar, who went to the Patriots. And Greg, help me out with this. I don't remember exactly what Aguilar signed for, so maybe
two,
it's just
two
a matter-
for 26. But they never said what the guarantees. It might be a 1 year deal, but they haven't said that one yet.
All right, and John
it
Brown
is
now,
it's 1 year.
Yeah, I don't see what the figures are for John Brown here, but
it's one of your classic up to $5.5 million from what I've got.
I just thought, Aguilar is a guy they probably should have tried harder to keep around, considering he had such a good rapport with Derek Carr and had really busted out last year. John Brown, we talked about him last week, a longtime West favorite, a guy who can make plenty of plays, but maybe a bit of a durability concern there. I thought Aguilar was a good fit in Las Vegas.
Good value, though. I agree with you, but I like this move just because I like John Brown. And like, I'd rather have John Brown than Marvin Jones, who got a lot more money, or A.J. Green, who got a lot more money. I think he'll matter. Like, I do the winners and losers on the website, and it's like yesterday, Derek Carr's a loser because they lost Rodney Hudson and they're losing Aguilar, losing other. And then it's like today, well, actually, Incognito's coming back and you got John Brown, which I'm fine with the John Brown for Aguilar trade. That seems close enough. It's like, okay, maybe today Derek Carr's a winner.
This John Brown deal is the kind of deal that I think the Patriots would have made if they weren't like cracking open piggy banks this offseason.
I agree.
Which nobody has those anymore. That's a stupid reference.
My kid does.
Mine does too.
We have a piggy bank.
They're still in the mix.
Okay.
You might be surprised to learn, Mark, that my kids have a Godzilla piggy bank.
No, I'm not. Well, that's not a piggy bank by nature. It's not that. It would need to be shaped like a. Okay. But I'm just saying, if adults used to have them for some reason, they don't anymore.
I guess it has to be the shaped as a pig to qualify as the piggy bank. I always thought that was more just like any type of little kid's like bank holder thing. You just call it a piggy bank.
Is that how deep your vegetarianism goes? You would not even support a piggy bank inside your house, Mark?
No, I would. I mean, my children have little cups with a hole in the top to put coins in, but I don't walk around calling that a piggy bank. All right?
You know, Mark, this has nothing to do with banks.
Well done, Ricky.
Yes, Greg.
I ate something. I ordered something to pick up the other week, called that was yak chili, And whenever I eat something
yards little, after catch chili,
a little left of center, like eating some yak, I think of you because you always make fun of that. I eat like that, that like us meat eaters eat terrible things. And you know,
pig intestines and things
this,
like that.
This yak was damn delicious.
Was well, I think of you when I think about things like that. But I actually, it reminds me, I had a dream last night that I ate like multiple strips of like crispy bacon.
How was it?
Was it a nightmare or you liked it?
No, I think it was because I used to. It was fine, but I don't remember how it tasted in the dream. It wasn't what that sensory part of it didn't click in.
Mm. But I remember there
doing
was a
it
night,
and then realizing I did it.
There was a night years ago, Mark. You and I were out. I'm guessing we were at the Cozy near the office, and then we were going to grab some food before going back to our respective homes and you know, letting our wives know we were still alive. And so I got a. Like a meat burrito of some kind, and then you got like a vegetarian one. And then, do you remember this? Do you remember this?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, exactly.
The meat somehow was deposited. Some of the meat ended up in Mark's burrito, and Mark took a bite, and then flash forward like 20 seconds later, Mark is in a bush yakking it out. Speaking of yaks,
yeah, they snuck some sort of like weird piece of pork or something in there, and it was it was not good.
A weird piece of pork. All right, moving on. The Washington football team signed cornerback William Jackson, formerly of the Bengals. 3 years, $42 million. Good to be a cornerback. He gets $26 million guaranteed, the former first-round pick in 2016. Bengals choose to let him head out the door, and Washington shores up their secondary some.
You can tell how what positions are hard to find because there are no good cornerbacks left on the market. There weren't any to begin with practically. Shaq Griffin went to Jacksonville, William Jackson there, and there's not really any offensive linemen left. Like the top 25 is pretty decimated other than the receivers. We do have a bunch of big name receivers still out there that we're waiting on.
I was gonna hit who's left in a second, but let's do 8 o'clock delight.
Sure.
Is this drop okay with you, Mark?
Yeah, this is pleasant.
Okay, good. The Colts bring back Marlon Mack. Of course, he blew his Achilles last September, but he's coming back to Indy.
Love Marlon Mack. Nice backfield there. Taylor, Hines, Mack.
Trevor Lawrence is the number one overall pick, or he's about to be, for the Jacksonville Jaguars. And now there's a report out there that they're taking calls on Gardner Minshew. What kind of market should Minshew? How about Minshew to Denver, Sizzler?
I love Gardner Minshew, but I don't understand why people would be calling as a starter. That surprises me.
The line straight for Michael Brockers and signed Jamal Williams.
Little salary dump. The Rams, it was confusing how they got under the salary cap. This was kind of part of it. This was just total salary dump. They basically gave up nothing to get him. Good player.
Right, but this is incredibly juicy because Brockers went on record after the Rams acquired Stafford and called him a level up from Goff. Now he's been shipped to Detroit, where he's back with level down Goff.
Ooh, good angle.
Ouchers! The Browns, they take a shot on Tack McKinley, who is a disaster for the Falcons. How you feel about this one, Mark?
I mean, I kind of see, like, who knows? Like, they didn't pay him much. He seems like a replacement for Adrian Claiborne, not like their guy across from Myles Garrett. They play like a 4-2-5 as a base, so they just need to kind of keep finding edge dudes.
All right, the Chiefs say goodbye to Super Bowl hero Damian Williams, who opted out last year. You know, this gets me thinking, like, because the C.J. Mosley trade rumors around the Jets. Everybody was so, it was so big on everyone to say and report it, as is his right. He is opting out of the 2020 season because of COVID-19, and I'm not making light of COVID-19 or what anyone's personal situations were. But, yes, perhaps this is right, but it is maybe not in your best football interest to disappear for a year, and that might be the case for Damian Williams.
Opt-out revenge.
The last time we talked Damian Williams, I remember, is at the Super Bowl, a hearty debate with our friend Wes, where he thought Damian Williams maybe deserved that MVP.
I kind of enjoyed that because I got sandwiches on that one. Wes was all fired up. I remember that. My old friend Lamar Miller, a 14-time Making the Leap nominee on the old Around the NFL blog days. He is back in the league, according to Greg's notes.
Washington.
Thank you. With Washington.
I saw Lamar Miller. I was like, wow, first day signing Lamar Miller. Let's get Dan's old buddy into the show.
No, that's good. Just throw a WAS in there next time.
Not really headline news on any website.
People have no idea what's happening, but Greg, very nicely, you know, we'll take turns, but Greg has been great this week about sending out, here's like the 18 or 19 head-spinning things that happen. But sometimes Greg's sentences are very complete and you know exactly what happens, but there are times when it's hard to decipher. And I think, Dan, you ran into some of that.
Typically, I have more in the way of preparation time. This week, obviously, has been very busy for me. So I was kind of flying blind there off Greg's notes, and it got me there. Didn't know where Lamar Miller ended up. I didn't have a chance to look that up. But I did give you the information you really needed, which was Greg's notes were Dan's buddy Lamar Miller back in the league.
Yeah, that was what was key. That was what was key. I don't think he's going to make a big splash here.
Speaking of big splash, there are big splashes still to come. I'm going to pull up your old boss. Well, it's from your old boss's website, Mike Florio. Shireen Williams wrote the top 25 remaining free agents, Greg. Is that on your radar a little bit? You write the top 101. Now you have someone that's coming in off the top turnbuckle with an updated top list and maybe makes yours a little bit, I don't know, yesterday's news. Saying what it is.
No, it's not a concern, especially because I just checked and I was wondering if the editors were going to do that. At some point, they start chopping off the players who have been signed. And if you go to NFL.com/101, you see the best available. Now that's what the list is.
You got a tab.
Okay,
good.
It's there.
Excellent.
It's right there.
All right. So according to Shireen, and maybe I should go over to Greg's list after that impassioned reply.
No, that's okay.
Kenny Golladay. Here's 10 big names still out there. Kenny Golladay, Anthony Harris, the Vikings safety, Juju Smith-Schuster, Hassan Reddick, the edge rusher with the Cardinals last year, Troy Hill, Rams cornerback, Mitchell Schwartz, cut by the Chiefs last week, the tackle, Will Fuller, still out there, Carlos Dunlap, A.J. Boye, and Mitch Trubisky amongst, some veterans that are name brands, but buyer beware at this point, Patrick Peterson, Jadeveon Clowney, T.Y. Hilton, Melvin Ingram, all big names still looking for work.
I mean, was that like in order, her order? Because some of
here we go. Here we go.
The first eight or nine was.
Greg, do you agree with her order?
Well, some of those names towards the top, like Boye, Trubisky, there was a couple others that seemed
Let me look at Greg's list.
Seem curious. But I also have Clowney right now as the second highest, which maybe you wouldn't like. Curtis Samuel. Did I hear Curtis Samuel in there?
He's on the list. I didn't mention
him. That's a spicy one.
There it is. Best. All right, here's Greg's best free agents available since he's clearly angling to get this listed.
No, I mean, you basically just set him off. Throw in a Dory Jackson, Malcolm Butler. Like, there's some other good names. You said my top one.
So you have, we were talking about this yesterday. Clowney is your second best available option left now. I just can't get on board with that. At what point does this guy not get the benefit of the doubt? You have Golladay, Clowney, Will Fuller, Samuel, Juju, Mitchell Schwartz, Justin Houston. Interesting there. Hassan Reddick, T.Y. Hilton, Carlos Dunlap, Dory Jackson, David Andrews, Anthony Harris, and then
Put above Clowney, or how many? I wouldn't put too many of those above Clowney.
Maybe some of those eight or ten of them.
I don't know.
Here's the thing: I like him. Maybe I overrated him this year because I was sort of anticipating. Like, I like the idea of buying low on him. Whenever he's played, he's still productive. Not last year, but he's still 28, 29. You're gonna get
that's
him
an
at
old
a
28.
Discount. You're gonna yeah, it's fair. You're gonna get him at a discount.
Man, Will Fuller was good.
Dolphins
got
to do something here. The Dolphins will sign one of these receivers, but that's been one of my surprises early, is in terms of quiet teams that the Dolphins haven't really done much. But it wouldn't surprise me if they signed David Andrews, the Patriots center they've been rumored to, and I think they will sign one of these receivers, whether it's Golladay or maybe Fuller.
Fuller was really good last year, and I know he had a ton of injury issues before last year, and of course his season ended on a PED suspension that actually carries over one game into 2021. Those are all obvious red flags, but he's a good buy-low guy. Sign him on a short-term deal.
He'd fit in Miami.
He'd fit in almost anywhere. Put him in New England. They should sign one more receiver, I think. This week.
All right. That's it for today's show. We have one more show this week on the podcast side of things. And then we have the television show, the Around the NFL broadcast on NFL Network on Friday afternoon. So make sure to set your DVRs for that. And those overseas, I believe you can access it via the Game Pass app, I believe. I don't know. Hope so. I seem we do get a lot of tweets from people overseas with a nice frosty beverage watching our program. So I guess there is access to it on some level. There must be. All right, good. And speaking of overseas listeners, happy St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, well, yeah.
To all the Irish out there.
And speaking of other, you know, another overseas listener that has some power out there, how about our old bosses at Sky Sports? I know they have a Sky Sports NFL channel. So if you are listening, you know, Mace, whoever it is, let's get the Around the NFL broadcast on that channel. What do we got to do?
I don't,
that's
prepackaged.
That's way over our heads. But
it's award-winning content that they can just take and plop right on their own network and delight many. So what are we doing here?
And what awards did you win? Oh, the 2013 Best New Podcast Award from Apple. And also, we did win a Stitcher that a former producer had shipped directly to her apartment. So that happened. Erica, that, by the way, in case I don't know if you're picking up what Greg's putting down there, but that would be something that would probably fall under the producer's tasks. Oh, the guys just had a good idea.
You, Greg.
Wait, the Sky Sports thing? It would be on? Unfortunately, I feel like...
That's good. Ricky's the producer. Okay. She connects with the producer over there, Mace. Hey, the guys had kind of a fun idea. I don't know if you caught it on the show. I bet the listeners overseas would love to see the guys. Is that something that could happen? And that's how a producer gets the ball rolling.
The ball rolling. But this feels like these are some shadowy league figures at the highest levels, the type that who are making these decisions that we don't even are in contact with.
I mean, we largely circumvented them to even be on Sky. So why don't we just go a step further and give them our television show without alerting them? That will go over fine.
I would say if you sent a pirated version of our program to United Kingdom and other territories, it will be a good test about on a lot of levels, like where we stand with the company.
I mean, I don't have too many questions about where we stand, but.
Yeah. All right, good. All right, good stuff. Keep tuning in. We'll keep churning out the content. Thank you for listening. This is Dan Hansa signing off for the Quiet Storm, the old boss, and Ricky Hollywood. Till Thursday, heed the call.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.